Hello, this is Paige Chatty with CBM Connect, and I am here today with Clay Allen of Mosaic's Four Corners Mine in Bradley, Florida. This interview with Clay is brought to you by UE Systems. Clay is responsible for developing and assisting with the implementation of proactive activities that maximize equipment availability and reduce maintenance costs for all rotating assets at the plant. This includes creating job plans for installations, optimizing PM processes, facilitating RCA exercises, and managing the precision lubrication program. These actions have resulted in a reduction of potential safety and environmental incidents, improved equipment availability, lowered operating costs, and a more efficient use of manpower. And today we're going to talk with Clay about motor greasing. Hi, Clay. How are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
Great, thank you. So we're going to dive right in. So tell me a little bit about what the first steps are to take when setting up a motor bearing greasing program.
When you're adding lubricant to the equipment, you want to make sure you're using the right kind. So the very first step you need to do is go through your assets and figure out what kind of grease should I be putting in my motor bearings. At my facility, we're lucky enough that most everything rotates about the same speed, so we can use one type of grease for everything, which obviously makes it very easy. But what you can do is look at your OEM manuals, look at your nameplate on your equipment, talk with your rebuild shop, talk with your lubricant supplier, and they all can help you figure out what kind of grease to use for your motor bearings. Once you have that identified, go through, I call it a grease purge, pun intended, meaning that you go through your facility and you purge out all the grease you don't use anymore out of the mechanics lockers, out of the back corner of the maintenance shops, get it out of the warehouse so that you greatly reduce your risk of cross-contamination by going through and making sure that we only have access to the right kind of grease, and that's been verified with OEM, with a rebuild shop, with our equipment manuals. Next thing you can do is go ahead and create a route. You may have a criticality analysis already done that kind of tells you what assets to focus your attention on. Definitely use that when deciding which assets to take care of, which motors to grease. You may have a horsepower rating that fits into your repairable spare program. All of that stuff goes into your factors of what are we actually going to spend time greasing, condition-based. Maybe we do some PM-based on these motors, condition-based on these, and we just run a failure on these. So it's going to be different for everybody, but definitely create a route. If you have multiple areas of the facility, you can break up your route however you like. Next thing to do is to create some procedures. So you have a lot of people retiring in the next few years as the aging workforce and the industrial environment in America. So what you want to do is definitely write down your best practices of how you're going to grease a motor, how you're going to establish a baseline, how to use your ultrasonic instrument. You want to write all that stuff down so that you kind of create a quick training program so that you can get anybody up to speed if you have any turnover. If you work for a larger company, a lot of times they like to move people from site to site. People are always looking for promotions, so you can have a lot of positive turnover. You can have some retirements. You can have a trainee get out of your apprenticeship program and showed some promise, and you want to show them ultrasonic motor greasing. So definitely having written procedures that standardize it for everybody to follow is an excellent idea. Next, I would recommend doing some formal training. Pull everybody together who's going to be doing the motor greasing. Go over the instrumentation, go over the grease gun, go over the type of grease you're going to use. Kind of fill them in on the background work that's already been done, so that everyone can have some buy-in and appreciation for what you're about to do. And then just kind of get their feet wet and practice using the instrument, practice using listening to the different kinds of bearings, the different kinds of motors, and then you're ready to go ahead and establish a baseline. Whenever you go to establish a baseline, you're understanding, you're putting the ultrasonic sensor on your equipment for the first time, you're getting a dB reading, and from that, you're going to use that data as a launching point for all of your future efforts of basically, is the condition better or worse than when I found it 3 months ago or 6 months ago, whatever frequency you set for your motor greasing. So the way I recommend doing that is just adding 5 to 10 shots to a motor while you're listening to it with your ultrasonic sensor and see what happens. If the sound goes down a little bit, add a little bit more. Eventually, you kind of hit a low plateau of your decibel reading, and that's how you know you go ahead and record that value as your baseline. And there's various types of software and various types of ultrasonic instruments that can help you do that.
Okay, great. So then we all know that using ultrasonic technology is a best practice for re-greasing assets. So what are some best practices to employ for a motor greasing program besides using an ultrasonic instrument?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because it doesn't matter if you put an ultrasonic sensor on something if you use the wrong kind of grease. Doesn't matter if you put an ultrasonic sensor on something if it has a bearing defect. Grease isn't going to fix that problem. So ultrasound greasing with ultrasound is kind of icing on the cake, but icing doesn't make a dessert. You got to have a whole lot of other stuff underneath that icing that really adds to the value of a motor greasing program. So obviously you only grease a motor while it's operating, right? You can get your dB level from there. We've had some instances where we can't get to a motor and we have to lock it out and then go add grease. If you have to do that, you have to do it, but just understand that it's not optimal. Obviously, you got to keep your lubricant clean. You can use caps to fit on your Zerk fittings so that contamination doesn't get into that ball check and you're not forcing that contamination down into your motor bearings. I would definitely recommend using a manual grease gun, whether it's a pistol grip or a lever grip, rather than a battery powered, because condition-based maintenance is all about just gathering data. So we're using an ultrasonic sensor to gather data from the bearing, but the bearing is also giving you data by the amount of resistance it takes to add grease to that bearing. You won't feel that resistance with a battery-powered gun, but with a manual operator gun, with a lever gun, you can feel if it's getting hard to add that grease and you can stop. That motor is giving you data back in the form of physical resistance. But again, with the battery power gun, you just whoa, 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 and it just goes, grease just goes, and you can cause a lot of damage. Also, add grease slowly to the bearing. Give it time to work around in there, push the old stuff out, add some new oil. That'll help you definitely prevent over-greasing the bearing, and also give you time to listen to the sound coming from your ultrasonic instrument and figure out if I'm near the threshold of where I need to stop, or do I need to add more, or give you more time to make that decision while you listen to the bearing go through its stages of adding grease. So you can add grease too fast with a manual gun. You can add so just using a manual gun isn't going to solve all your issues. Also, you have cross contamination. Like I said earlier, going through and purging out all the grease that you don't use, disposing of it properly. What you can do is that significantly reduces your risk of cross contamination. Somebody putting some conveyor bearing grease in your motor or something like that. The ways you can do that are a color-coded grease system. So our motor grease is a polyurea based and it's blue. So very simply, we just use blue Zerk caps to cover the fittings on the motor. That way they know blue grease goes with the blue cap, and it's very easy to understand. You can also use different types of grease fittings. They have Zerk fittings, they have buttonhead fittings, they have Zerk fittings at an angle. It's very hard to put conveyor bearing grease from a grease gun that has a button head fitting onto a motor that has a Zerk head fitting. There's also that common sense that you can use whenever you're doing that. Another way you can prevent cross-contamination is color code your grease gun. Very simply, we started out, I bought a $10 pack of electrical tape that had 5 different colors. So no matter what grease tube it has, we just wrapped it in electrical tape, and that was our color code system. We've upgraded since then, got a little bit fancier. They sell grease tubes that are clear acrylic, and they're color coded at the very ends. You can replace those on your grease gun. You can actually see the label of the grease tube inside your gun, as well as you have your color code system. And one of the best things to do is to mark the location of where you take your baseline reading and follow up every time by placing your ultrasonic sensor there. So it doesn't matter what ultrasound sensor you use or what instrument, what gun. Putting your magnetic sensor, your hard mounted sensor on the same place of that motor every single time is what I find is most neglected in any motor greasing program. What you can do is you can use a magic marker or a grease pen, but my facility is in Central Florida where it's hot and it rains a lot. So I find a lot of times that the sun will erode that away. What we ended up doing is taking a drill bit and just making a little divot in the frame, and that's exactly where we put the magnetic sensor time after time. So it gives you repeatable readings that you know when you look at your data back in the office, you know that it's accurate, it's repeatable from what you had last time, and that can definitely help you out. So preventing cross-contamination, using a manual grease gun, keeping everything clean, slowly adding grease, and getting data back from your, getting consistent, reliable data back to make a decision on. There's a lot of things that get neglected with the motor greasing program. Just because you put an ultrasonic sensor on something doesn't mean that you're automatically world-class.
Definitely. So then what benefits can be obtained from using all of these best practices?
As with any kind of equipment, not just motors, but whenever you start to take care of your equipment better, it's going to last longer for you. It's always going to be there to perform its intended function. So also, I mean, this sounds like a lot of work setting up a motor greasing program. I'm not going to lie to you. It is a lot of work. But you only have to do it once. It's a one-and-done kind of thing. Once you set it up, it's done. Now you do less work over time. Put a little bit of effort in up front, and then instead of you working for the equipment because it always breaks, now the equipment starts to work for you. So the equipment lasts longer. You do less work over time. It's very easy just to go through. Once your routes have already been programmed, once you know what kind of grease to use, once you know where to put your sensor, it's very automatic to go through and keep your program up to date. And really, it just comes down to the ability to change domains from the reactive domain to the proactive domain to the precision domain. So the reactive domain is where you work for the equipment, right? It breaks without telling you. And then the proactive domain is when you start to take care of it and you can see these failures coming and you can plan, schedule, and execute without having any downtime. Any unscheduled downtime. And then the precision domain is just where nothing breaks. Everything runs as intended. So I'll give you one example. We started our motor greasing program about 2.5 years ago. But for the past year, once we got everything caught up, and once that condition-based maintenance has had time to take effect in our facility, I haven't lost a motor bearing that I didn't already know about. What I mean by that is I can see the bearing defects occurring from stage 1 to stage 2 to stage 3, and then we go ahead and I push the work order through to plan, schedule, and execute without any unscheduled downtime. So just imagine not losing a motor bearing that you didn't know about 5 months ahead of time. That's the kind of the goal, and I can tell you that that's achievable because we've done it. I have about 90 to 100 motors on our route, and every single one of them, I can see what's happening once you combine the ultrasonic data with your vibration data. You can see it go through those stages, and it moves incredibly slow, a couple months at a time between stages. So really, that's the key to moving from the reactive to proactive to precision domain, where the equipment works for you and you don't work for the equipment anymore.
Thank you, Clay, so much. That was so interesting. And I hope that we get to sit down with you again soon to talk more about motor greasing and then also maybe some more information about Lubrum. So thank you so much for sitting down with us today.
No problem. If I can help in any way, let me know. And best of luck in your lubrication journey.